church is in Africa at the service of reconciliation, peace and justice.
The church is in Africa at the service of reconciliation, peace and justice.
This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In today's program, you can hear our feature, Justice and Peace. First, however, our bulletin of church news, followed by African news panorama. I am Festus Tarawali. Pope Francis tweeted about love on Tuesday, saying that love goes beyond usefulness, convenience, or duty. Love, he said, generates wonder. It inspires creative, freely given zeal. And as you may have heard in our last edition, Pope Francis, on the Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary on the 15th of August, invited the faithful to visit a Marian shrine to venerate Our Lady on her feast day and renewed his call for peace in Ukraine. On this day dedicated to Our Lady, the Pope said, I urge all who have the opportunity to visit a Marian shrine to venerate our Heavenly Mother. Meanwhile, the Holy Father's special envoy to the Dominican Republic, Archbishop Peña Parra, on Monday presided over the closing celebrations of the Jubilee year for the centenary of the canonical crowning of the image of the Virgin of Altagracia. The Archbishop, who is a substitute for General Affairs of the Secretariat of State, also met with authorities in Puerta del Conde, where the canonical crowning took place. Tadeusz Jones reports.
Centenary celebrations for the canonical crowning of the image of Our Lady of Altagracia, patroness of the Dominican Republic, concluded yesterday with a special mass celebrated at the Olympic Stadium of Santo Domingo. Archbishop Edgar Peña Parra, Pope Francis' special envoy to the Centennial Jubilee, concluding celebrations and substitute for general affairs at the Secretariat of State, presided over the celebration, among many others, taking place since last Friday. Prior to the morning mass, Archbishop Peña Parra met with civil and religious authorities at Puerto del Conde, where exactly 100 years ago, the canonical crowning of the image of Our Lady of Altagracia took place. He also placed a golden rose at the feet of the Virgin on behalf of Pope Francis, who wished to spiritually join the many pilgrims venerating the Virgin of Altagracia. The offering of the golden rose is a very ancient homage to the Queen of Heaven that popes exceptionally grant to images of great devotion among the faithful for special occasions, such as this centenary of the canonical crowning, the Archbishop explained. The golden rose symbolizes a flower that does not wither, he noted, a flower that represents all the Dominican people who come to venerate the Virgin of Altagracia, entrusting their lives, wishes, and needs while asking for her intercession before the Lord. Archbishop Peña Parra concluded, whenever you see this rose next to the Holy Virgin, remember also the Holy Father and pray for him and for the Universal Church. Addressing the authorities, Archbishop Peña Parra said, the crowning of the Virgin is an acknowledgement by believers and also by all men and women of goodwill of the importance that the invocation of Altagracia has had in the ups and downs of history in the nation, and its strengthened respect for fundamental values by inspiring and strengthening fraternal, peaceful relationships that respect the rights of others and are attentive to the needs of the weakest. The special envoy conveyed the Pope's affectionate embrace, greetings and blessing to all the bishops, priests, the faithful, and civil authorities present. He then mentioned the scene depicted in the painting of Our Lady of Altagracia, which invites us to adore the child Jesus in the humility of the manger where he's lovingly cared by his mother Mary and Saint Joseph. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
The prefect of the Vatican's Dicastery for Communication, Paolo Ruffini, has addressed this year's Signis World Congress in Seoul, South Korea, recalling that the only way to respond to the challenge of technology is not to think of it as an idol. Father Benedict Mayaki reports.
There are certain things technology can never replace, including freedom, encounter, the surprise of the unexpected, conversion, ingenuity, and gratuitous love. Paolo Ruffini, the prefect of the Vatican's Dicastery for Communication, emphasized this when speaking at the World Congress of the Catholic Network Signis, an international association for Catholic professionals in the field of communications. This year, the annual event, focused on the theme Peace in the Digital World, is taking place in the South Korean capital of Seoul and concludes on the 19th of August. The prefect of the Dicastery for Communication recalled that technology, the fruit of human ingenuity, now enables realities that were unthinkable just a few decades ago, such as teleconferencing, telemedicine, and e-commerce. But the paradox of our time, he pointed out, is that we are hyper-connected and also alone. Hence, we need to question ourselves and to make a personal and collective examination of conscience. Ruffini said that the only way to respond to the challenge of technology today is not to think of it as an idol, but also not to demonize it. He recalled when Pope Francis visited South Korea in 2014 and during a meeting with young people, stressed that happiness cannot be purchased. The Holy Father cautioned that the happiness we buy does not last, rather, only the happiness of love is the kind that lasts. Following this idea, Ruffini pointed at consumerism, which confuses short-term satisfaction for more profound and more lasting happiness, and warned that only connections based on love can make us less lonely, happier, and can last a long time. The prefect of the Vatican's Dicastery for Communications invited everyone not to define ourselves starting from what divides us, but rather focus on what unites us. In this light, Ruffini stressed that the challenge of good journalism is to find new ways for new communication and to engage genres and languages by focusing on dialogue rather than on marketing of ideas, on intelligence as a moral category rather than on fanatical moralism of the crowd. Finally, Paolo Ruffini invited all Catholic communicators to become protagonists of a new humanism embodied in active and participatory communities in order to weave a new idea of citizenship. I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.
The Holy See signed an agreement on the 15th August Feast of the Assumption with the Democratic Republic of Sao Tome and Principe, recognizing the legal personality of the Catholic Church and ecclesiastical institutions in the small African island nation. The Holy See Press Office released a statement on Tuesday announcing the agreement, saying that it is drawn up in Italian and Portuguese and composed of 28 articles, and will come into force with the exchange of the instruments of ratification. The agreement, the statement continues, establishes the recognition of the judicial personality of the Catholic Church and ecclesiastical institutions and defines the legal framework of relations between the Church and the State. It also further consolidates the bonds of friendship and cooperation existing between the two parties, which, while safeguarding their independence and autonomy, are committed to working together for the spiritual and material well-being of the human person, as well as for the promotion of the common good, read the statement. Archbishop Giovanni Gaspari, Apostolic Nuncio to Sao Tome and Principe, signed the agreement on behalf of the Holy See, and Mrs. Edite Ramos da Costa Tenjua, Minister of Foreign Affairs, Cooperation and Communities, signed on the part of Sao Tome and Principe. Kenyan opposition figure Raila Odinga said on Tuesday he will challenge the results of the close presidential election with all legal options after Deputy President William Ruto was declared the winner of the 9th August poll on Monday. The country is reported to be calm on Tuesday following protests on Monday in some cities by supporters of Mr. Odinga. After the results were announced on Monday, religious leaders in Kenya called for peace and calm. They urged those aggrieved by the results to challenge them through the courts and not through the streets. In South Africa, the Bishop of Kronstadt Diocese, Most Reverend Peter Holliday, has established a Migrants and Refugees Office to help migrants who hail mostly from Lesotho. The Bishop spoke to Sheila Furish after attending a workshop on migration issues.
Bishop Holliday, thank you so much for joining us on this platform. And yes, indeed, it is a very important pastoral care that is for refugees and migrants, or migrants and refugees. As you've said, you've been in Kronstadt Diocese since 2011. What would you say are the most important issues when we look at migrants and refugees in Kronstadt Diocese?
Well, what I would say is that being a rural diocese and spread out, having very few, say, big towns, you have Welkom, Sasselburg, Virginia, you would say that's a town environment, but the rest are all in townships. So the diocese is spread out, the parishes are spread out, and as the church has spoken about this, the migrants and refugees for a long time, and our Holy Father, Pope Francis, has been a shining light and example on the issue of migrants and refugees. But I would say in the diocese myself, I've seen migrants and refugees, but not much has been done. But the Bishops' Conference has taken this up with a great urgency, and therefore, really, since coming to the diocese, I haven't done much. But in the last number of years, we've tried to put into pastoral action the care for migrants and refugees. And so what has happened in the diocese is that we have appointed a chaplain for migrants and refugees, and he has attended workshops run by the National Office under Sister Maria, and has come back and informed myself, the bishop, and also at our priest meetings, shared this real concern of the church and what can we do in the Diocese of Kroonstad to inform, to make aware of the plight, the concern for migrants and refugees. So not much in the beginning, but at present we are really going to work on this pastoral care, this outreach. Maybe in an indirect way, since coming to the diocese, I would speak to the community of the diocese, but especially in the priest meetings, religious meetings, about justice and peace. And that would touch on the concern for migrants and refugees. So that's where I am at the moment, wanting to really make our Catholic community aware of this real need to reach out and to welcome migrants and refugees. So in the last couple of years, I would say we've tried to do something about it. And on Saturday, this past Saturday, the 6th of August, Sister Maria had a workshop here in the Diocese of Kroonstad, and I participated, and it was very informative and very uplifting. Myself, the chaplain, and a small group of about maybe 10 people attended. And so from this workshop, we have been encouraged now to make this pastoral care in the diocese, migrants and refugees, open and a call to do something about it. And so the workshop was very good, and the people that attended were encouraged, were made aware of this concern that the church has for migrants and refugees. So that is the situation that we at our meeting, we had the coordinator of Justice and Peace, and we decided that we will collaborate with an office of migrants and refugees under the care of the chaplain of the diocese. So we want to do something about it and in the diocese.
That was Bishop Peter Holliday of Kroonstad Diocese in South Africa speaking there to Sheila Purish. World leaders are meeting at the UN in New York for more talks to save the world's oceans from over-exploitation. This is the fifth attempt to pass the treaty which will regulate marine activity on the high seas, curbing overfishing, mining, polluting and other actions that threaten biodiversity. Katie Datford of UN News has more on that story.
Talks resume on Monday between UN member states aimed at finally completing a UN High Seas Treaty for ocean protection globally. With two-thirds of the world's oceans outside of any country's territory, the largely unregulated waters face many threats, including overfishing and deep-sea mining. If agreed, 30% of the world's oceans would be put into conservation areas by 2030. After 10 years and 4 inconclusive sessions, at least 49 countries have committed to achieving a legal treaty and decided in March that a fifth and final session will be convened with the hope of signing the pact by the end of the year. In addition to COVID-19, which had prevented countries from meeting, disagreements have continued over what should be included. At a UN Ocean Conference in June, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres declared an ocean emergency and suggested the egoism of some governments was hampering efforts to agree on a high seas treaty.
You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
The United Kingdom has launched a scheme to cut tariffs on hundreds of products, including food and textiles, from some of the world's poorest countries to try to boost trade links. Under the Developing Countries Trading Scheme, 99% of goods imported from Africa will be duty-free. The preferential terms will come into effect early next year, the BBC reported. In South Africa, some relatives of miners who were shot dead by police 10 years ago say they have still not received promised compensation. 34 striking workers were killed at a Lone Mine platinum mine in 2012 in what became known as the Marikana Massacre. Staying in South Africa, a new scientific study has found that the already endangered African penguin is being driven away from its natural habitat off the east coast of the country due to noise from ship refueling. You are tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
You are welcome to this week's edition of Justice and Peace. As you heard on this program, last Wednesday, hundreds of Sierra Leoneans held demonstrations in protest against the rising cost of living, corruption, and police brutality in their country. The protests took place mainly in areas where the opposition has much support. Among other demands, the demonstrators called for the resignation of President Julius Maada Bio. Government responded by deploying armed police and the army. Violence erupted as the police fired tear gas at the protesters, and in the end, 6 police officers and 21 protesters, mainly young people, were killed. Hundreds were injured, and many more were arrested. President Bio was on holiday in London when the protests erupted. His vice, Mohamed Julde Jallo, who was in the country, declared a curfew as one of the measures to contain the protests. The president returned to the country hurriedly to deal with the situation. He told reporters that the protesters were terrorists and that their intention was to overthrow his government. He acknowledged, however, that Sierra Leone was experiencing economic difficulties, especially a sharp rise in the prices of food and other essential goods and services, and a high unemployment rate of youth. Bishop Natale Paganelli is the Apostolic Administrator of the Catholic Diocese of Makeni in Sierra Leone and the President of the Sierra Leone Catholic Bishops Conference. He spoke to Vatican Radio about the situation in the country.
It's an unfortunate situation, very sad for the country. Many of you know that there was a civil war in Sierra Leone, more than 10 years of civil war, practically ended in 2002. After 20 years, exactly, we are again in trouble. The country, unfortunately, is divided in two. The north and the western area, Freetown, is dominated by one party, south and east by another party, the first APC, the second SLPP. This is the origin of the conflict in Sierra Leone, because it's fighting for power, for the control of the country. And there is no way till now, I hope we will be able to break this wall, to dialogue, to look for the good of the country, using the term of the doctrine of the church, the communion good, and to reach an agreement between the two parties. Of course, the situation became very difficult with the increment of the cost of life, which every country, also in Italy, my country, the cost of life is higher now. But you know, in a poor country, when the price of rice, especially rice, is going up too much and the parents cannot afford to buy a bag of rice for the family, become a problem. Also, unemployment of the youth is another big problem that till now no government was able to solve. But I believe the main problem behind this is the political confrontation between these two parties. In fact, the protest was only in the Free Town and the North. For information I have, in the South East, no. The South East, the people suffer like in the North. Why not protest there? Because of the political division of the country.
Reports say that the debt toll is rising. And according to you, is this an effective way of dealing with and expressing dissent or expressing discontent by the population and the government?
Recently, the government decided to practically to forbid the manifestation, which also the United Nations represented in the country told the government cannot forbid manifestation. Of course, not violent manifestation, but the people have a right to express their concern. For that, there is, in my opinion, mistake in both sides. Sometimes the police use too much force and the people too aggressive with stone, with sometimes the cutlass. For me, in my personal opinion, we need to find somebody who is able to call the stakeholder of the country to sit down and to find a solution of this terrible problem. Because you can change the government, but the situation remains if we are not able to start a very deep dialogue, sincere, honest dialogue between the North and West and South and East.
You are the apostolic administrator of Makeni. What role can the church play in this situation, especially in the context of these protests and even in the wider context of religious tolerance?
I am talking in this moment as a president of the Episcopal Conference in Sierra Leone. I hope we will be able to be united among ourselves. But recently I read in the media, in the WhatsApp, saw some declaration not comfortable, not Christian, not evangelical, not acceptable from a priest, this attitude. You can be support one party in our party, but we cannot write against the other side. We priest, we bishop, must be the first persons to fight for the union of the country. Because for us, the baptism, our faith in Jesus Christ, is more important than our belonging to a ethnic group or to a region. We need to deep this reflection and to think in our mistakes. I'm not accusing anybody. Both sides are doing it wrong. But we need to find the way as a church to prove that it's possible to work together, to love each other, to support each other, despite our ethnic group, our region, and so and so. Second, since the president is Catholic, many in the government are Catholics, at least to call the Catholics from the government, the Catholics from the opposition, to talk as pastors, to call a meeting and to talk, because we cannot separate the religion from our action for what we do. We are Catholics everywhere. If I am in power, I am a Catholic president. I am in opposition. I am a Catholic in the opposition. But we need to implement or to put in practice our Christian values. We are a small group. We are 5%. The Catholic Church is not a big group. But we have good reputation. We can tell something to the country, help the country to go in a better future. But if we are divided in the church, which kind of message we are sending to the people of Sierra Leone?
At this point, what is your message to Sierra Leone?
Put the good of the country first, for everybody. Not for the North, not for the South, not for the East, not for the West. We need to fight for the good of Sierra Leone. Because I cannot understand a rich country because we have a lot of minerals. We have a lot of agriculture. We have fish. We have a lot of things. How is possible a poor country with a few people rich, very rich? It's not possible. It's an injustice. We need to work together for the good of the country because there is enough wealth for everybody. I believe a good administration, I'm not talking about this present government or the past government, I'm talking in generally speaking, a good governance assure good life for everybody. But of course, we had to go in a democratic way, respect of the human right, respect of the life of everybody. We need really to work together to find a way to dialogue between the two regions of the country, the two parties of the country, because it's the only way to go out from this. And later on, to find a way to implement really a democratic system in Sierra Leone. With violence, we do not go far. 10 years of civil war brought only destruction, no benefit to the country. For that, let us not go back. Let us look at the future with hope, because we as a Christian, we are men and women of hope, but at the same time to implement in our life a true, honest, sincere relationship between all of us, started inside the church. This is my humble message. And to continue with the religious tolerance we are enjoying in Sierra Leone, because thank God there is religious tolerance. We have no religious conflict. If not, will be a very tragedy for the country.
Bishop Natalie Paganelli, the Apostolic Administrator of the Catholic Diocese of Makeni in Sierra Leone and the President of the Sierra Leone Catholic Bishops' Conference, speaking there to Father Benedict Mayaki. And that was Justice and Peace for this week. This has been Johnny Baptist Tumosime.
You are tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature Health and Healing. I am Festus Tarawali, and do join us then. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.